part two. Now, we said that basically the two worst ones are willful unbelief and rebellion. Y'all remember that? So if you got your Bible, let's look at our key verse here. It's Matthew 16. We're not going to take the time to read this whole thing. But y'all remember Jesus asked them, who do men say that I am? And they said a bunch of different stuff. And then Peter had a revelation. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look at verse 18 here. He said, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, talking about the revelation knowledge, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now that's our key verse, because how many knows Jesus is still building his church right now? Now, in our study of the church, we found out that one person is not the church. That's impossible according to Scripture over and over and over. It's kind of like you are a puzzle piece. I held up a puzzle, you know. It takes that whole to make that. When you look it up, the word church, it means an assembly. We are the called out ones. But then also, according to Scripture, we're the called together ones, right? So it takes all of us to make up the church. We found out that according to Scripture, the Bible says we're being built up living stones, right? A dwelling place, a house for God. We found out in Scripture and study that the church is a family, right? We read the Scripture that said the exact word, that we are the family. So that's kind of down the lines we're going to talk about this morning, but we're going to go a little different direction. And I have got these notes. They're not in order at all. I'm trying to figure out now exactly where I'm wanting to go. Now, I wrote down this definition. Because willful unbelief and rebellion, we used a lot of the Old Testament last time that I did this message. If y'all remember, we talked about the children of Israel, how God sent Moses to lead them out, take them through the wilderness, you know, bringing them to the promised land and all of that. God would tell them to go. Well, when they sent out the spies, they come back. Two of them had a good report. The rest of them had an evil report, the Bible says. And the people wouldn't go. God told them, go up. They said, no, we're not going up. Y'all remember that? Yeah. We're not going to take time to go through all that again. So they could have believed by choice what God said. Because God said, it's a good land. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. And I've given it to you. Right? The Bible says, according to Scripture, that he's given unto us precious promises, that all of his promises are yes and amen in him, right? Yeah. So can we believe all his promises? Yeah. Of course we can. So when we don't, it's willful unbelief. Just like them, when God told them to go up, they said, no, we're not going. We're as grasshoppers in their sight. Well, then God said, don't go. And they said, oh, we have sinned. We're going to go now. Are you serious? You're still sinning. God said, don't go. That's willful unbelief, and actually what it leads to is rebellion. And that is one thing that, according to Scripture, God cannot stand. And how many knows it is? Pride is the nature. Pride and rebellion is the nature of Satan. So I wrote down the definition of submit, because a lot of times in the world, they think strength is domination. It is unsubmissiveness. Ain't nobody tell me what to do. You know, according to the world, a lot of the world, that's their way of doing things. They think that is something big or whatever. But over here in the kingdom, submission is your strength. The submitted, the humble, they get the grace, right? And whatever God says, with enough grace, you can do it, you can have it, you can be it. But he says he resists the proud. Now, the word definition of the word submit or submission says to give into or surrender to another's authority, to put oneself under another's authority. So they cannot anybody make us submit.
Nope.
You might, kind of like the little kid standing up, you know, the parents smack them on the leg and say, sit down. Well, they might be sitting down, their little bottom on the pew, but in their heart, they're still standing up. So that's not submission. Submission is when I myself submit my will to another's will of whoever is over me. So let's look at, I think I want to go to Ephesians 5. Now, there's always somebody in authority.
Yeah.
Amen.
That you can see.
Amen.
God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of who?
Church.
The church and the man.
Amen.
What did I tell you? Ephesians 5?
Yeah.
God's pray for me this morning, but we're going to do this. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to do it. Now, I have connected the dots, Monty. Now, see, Monty's been doing men's meeting. I believe he's led by the Lord. And I got to hear that what you taught last Sunday morning at Sunday school. He taught for me. I couldn't be here. Was a little bit of your part of your men's meeting stuff, right?
Yes, ma'am.
It was very good. And I got to thinking about it, and I thought, God, that was good. And I got to thinking about what God's been talking to us about the church. And I could see connecting the dots with what you're teaching, with what I'm teaching. Why? Because if you can't get the man right, you can't get the home right.
That's right.
If you can't get the home right, you can't get the church right.
Right.
And I'm like, God, you are so smart. I never saw that in that way before.
Right.
Excuse me. But here in Ephesians 5, now 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. He's not talking about the family right there. Just like here, me and you, we submit to one another. There's some that are over us here in this place. There's some that work under us here in this place. And we submit to one another, right? But 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, how? As unto the Lord. Just like in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, there's a head and it's the man. Well, in the Old Testament, when he took wanted to take them out of Egypt, he had to have somebody in the flesh to go over there and lead them out. Somebody that they could see. Somebody that they could hear. So he picked can you think of his name?
Moses.
He picked Moses, and then he hooked him up with Aaron. Why? Because people have to have leadership. Yeah. Is it because Moses was such a great man? No, he was actually a killer. He was a murderer. He said, I can't do it. I stutter. So he wasn't perfect in the flesh, you know, and have all of his ducks in a row. God didn't pick him because he was so good. God picked him just because he wanted to pick him.
Amen.
God doesn't pick the man because he's smart.
Right.
Some men's dumb as dirt. And married to very smart women because they told them to marry them. I can't help that one. That just kind of came out there. I'm just getting back there in the spirit now. I'm trying to think where I was at. Oh, yeah. God doesn't pick men because they're better.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
Y'all come on, man.
Right.
God picked the man, and he picked him from the very beginning. And he still picks him today. He picks him in the home. Why? Because he's smarter, he's better, he's got more money. No, just because it's God's choice. That's the way God set it up. Now, a dumb as dirt man can become a very wise man that serves the Lord. And he should be, right? Just as well as us women. And us being under the man as a woman doesn't make us lesser, doesn't make us weaker. It's God's choice. One reason why God does it is because there always has to be a leader, somebody directly under God. Just like in this church, that's why you have a pastor. Can you imagine, Johnny, if we all have church, we just come to church and assemble together and we all do what we feel like it? Can you imagine? I hope a lot of us would be on the same page. But sad to say, some possibly would not be, and that would not be good. We would have chaos. So there would be no edification or exhortation or anything going on, right? So he says here, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I've heard women, and I have said it myself, you know, they don't nobody tell me what to do. I don't know about you, my flesh just don't like that. Why? I consider myself to be a very strong woman. But according to Scripture, Johnny, in the kingdom, that's a weak woman. But notice it says here, wives, submit yourselves. Husbands, don't ever tell your wives, bless God, the Scripture says, submit to me. You might get a black eye. That's not the way to go about that, because you can't make your wife submit.
That's right.
And some might say, well, she never will. Well, then she won't. That's not anything to do with the husband. Did you see who he's talking to? Their wives. So if your wife won't submit to you, then she never will. You can't make her.
Right.
But us, that are wise, if we're smart and we want to serve the Lord and please and obey the Lord, then we must submit. And the word submission means I yield or put myself under somebody else's authority. The only reason why the man has authority over the wife is because that's the way God set it up. And the man should never abuse that authority.
Amen.
It won't go well with you. So wives, submit to your own husbands. Now notice we're talking about the family. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife. What's that mean? He's the boss? No. He's the leader. He's supposed to be leading by example. Y'all ain't saying nothing. He's supposed to lead by example, right? That's what a leader does. That's what a head does. They lead. They don't tell. They lead. So he says there, for the husband is the head of the wife. And this is how. Even as Christ is the head of the church. Now he brings in the analogy and working both of them together, the family and the church. Why? It's set up and operates the exact same way. The same. He says, the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so the church should be, right?
Right.
What's that mean? We yield and submit ourselves under his leadership and his authority.
Right.
Listen, for the wife to submit to the husband takes faith. There has been times some of Scotty's decisions has been something else. I thought. And Johnny, some of them would be good. They'd work out. And then some of them, that was not so good. See, just because somebody's the head don't ever mean they can't miss it.
Right.
All of us in here that are parents, have you ever missed it with your children?
Yeah.
Did it ever give your children a reason to rebel against you? No. Not according to God. So as wives, we have to yield and submit ourselves to our husbands, even when we think they're making the wrong decision. Now, I'm not talking about yielding to sin. If Scotty comes in today and tells me, look, I think God wants us to become swingers, I'm not going for that deal. That's totally contrary to Scripture.
Right, right.
But I remember there was this one particular time, we was having a really hard time in our finances, couldn't pay our bills and having to figure out with what little bit of money we had, which one do we pay, you know, the water bill or this, that, or another. And that's where we was at. And Scotty come to me, and God had told me years and years ago to give $50 a month to a specific ministry, and he's never told me to stop. So therefore, I've never stopped. And this has been over 20 years ago. Well, anyway, he comes one day, and he says, listen, he said, I believe it, the Lord wants us to stop giving to this ministry. And I'm like, I don't think so. I ain't heard nothing about that. Now, he's the head. But in here, I know he's wrong, Sandy. But I told him, I said, okay, I won't give to them no more. And I went out on the back porch and I started crying and I said, God, you said wives submit to your husbands. God, I don't think he's right about this. I know you told me to give this and you ain't never told me to stop. And when he said it, it don't seem right to me. But nevertheless, God, because you said submit to your husbands, I will, God. I said, but Lord, if you want me to keep doing this, open another door and bypass him. Why? Because I can't do it. Not if I'm going to do right and submit to my husband as unto the Lord. Lo and behold, just a couple weeks goes by, and at that time, Sandy was cleaning the church. I had been doing it in pregnancy and all that. I had to give it, let her do it. And I didn't say nothing to nobody. And about 2 weeks went by, Sandy come to me. She said, if you want it, I'll give the church back to you. I said, yeah, I want it.
Yeah.
Why? Because, see, now, if I made the money, he ain't going to tell me what to do with it, Johnny. Not that he can't. He wouldn't. That's what I'm saying. He wouldn't. If I made the money, he leaves that to me, whatever I feel led or want to do with that. So lo and behold, here she come. And I said, I know it, God. I knew it. So then I went to him and I told him, you know, look, Sandy, give me the church back. You get paid for cleaning the church, you know, and I'll send my offering money out of this. Can I do this? Yeah, that's fine. You wait and do whatever you want to. My point to that is, if I'll do the will of God and what I'm supposed to, God will make sure that he opens a door, even if he has to bypass my husband or your pastor or whatever. Not that he'll hurt anybody, because he won't.
Right.
But he'll make another way if that's part of his plan for you to do it.
Right.
But he never tells us to rebel or come against authority.
Right.
Now he says there, for 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, this is your part. Love your wives.
Amen.
And you'll work on that a lifetime, and we'll make sure of it. I am Scotty Sandpaper. I am his helper, but God uses me probably more than anybody other than blowing overhead door to get the rough edges off of him. It says, husbands, love your wives, and wives, don't ever tell your husband, you're not loving me like you're supposed to. If he never loves you like you think he's supposed to, then he just won't.
Right.
Y'all not saying nothing. But I need him to be this way. No, that's none of your business. Y'all got real quiet on that. Y'all men didn't even say amen. That just gave y'all a way out. You don't have to do all that smooching and hugging and all that stuff all the time. Right? It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Listen, man, when we look good, y'all look good. We don't look good, y'all don't look good. It says, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For as no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. That's what Jesus does to the church, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So the church is the same analogy in the church is the same in the home. Now go over to Ephesians 6. But I'm trying to lay a little bit of foundation before we actually get where I'm going. Verse 1. Children, obey who? Your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why? Everybody has a head somewhere. Everybody has an authority that you're under, and then others, you're over somebody. So he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So what does he say here? Children do what? So we got husbands, which is heads, love, right? That's y'all's job. Then you got wives, what? Submit. That's our job. Then you got children, what?
Obey.
So you got love, you got submission, and you got obedience. In the family, and it's supposed to be the same thing in the church.
Right.
Is there ever a time that God, just like this, say amen. Just for an example, say he wants to do something real bad and he's prayed about it and he feels led. He goes to Monty and April and he tells them and they're like, no, we don't feel led. You're not going to do that. Now you got two, they don't feel led. And you got one, he feels very led. What do you do? Damien has to lay that thing down, or whatever kid that it is, has to lay that thing down, honor, and obey his parents.
Right.
And if that is the will of God for him, and he will, by faith, yield and submit himself, because it takes faith to submit.
Wow.
I have to believe God to submit to Scotty. I have to believe that God is in him and working through him and leading him and guiding him in the decisions that he makes for our family. You also have to, as his pastor, believe that God is working in him and the things that he tells you know about, which is rare. I think Sadie probably gets told more, her and Richard maybe, than anybody else, but they have a lot of ideas. I don't think Johnny ever says one, you know? And they get told you sometimes, but what do they have to do? They have to lay that thing down. They have to submit to their pastor. Why? Because here he is the authority. He is the one that God has chosen to be the head here. And then there's heads of ministry underneath him and all of that. But it takes faith for you to believe that God is in your pastor, working through your pastor, speaking to your pastor for all of us. And if you don't do it by faith, you're going to get over into willful unbelief, because I know what I have inside.
Right.
Damien could tell it. I know what I got in here, Mama, and it's gone. But then you got Mama saying, no. I'm talking about the church. See, this is a big, one of the biggest hindrances to going on in the church right now. We live in one of the most unsubmissive, disrespectful societies that in my lifetime I have ever seen.
Amen.
And they're saying now the divorce rate in the church, it used to be 50-50 with the world. Now they're saying it's more like nearly 70-50. World 50, church nearly 70. This cannot be. There's something wrong with that. There's somewhere we're not obeying God and we're not submitting to leadership. Then you've got pastors that they're unpastoring, quitting being pastor because you can't get the congregation to do nothing. Because the congregation thinks that the pastor's supposed to submit to them. When is the wife, when is the husband ever supposed to submit to the wife?
No.
See, the type has to fit. When does Christ ever submit to the church?
Never.
Now see, submission is not just you disagree. Submission is, I totally disagree with you, but by faith, because you are the leadership over me, I'm going to submit to you and under God. And in submitting to you, I am submitting to God. But yet we've got people all over the planet, they think it's okay to go to this church when I feel like it.
Right.
And God forbid the pastor ever call you after 3 weeks trying to figure out, are you sick? What's going on with you? Did you move on to another one? How dare you? How do you think you are trying to get up in my business?
Right.
Are you serious? And that is a hindrance to the church. It's not the devil that's the biggest hindrance to the church. We just read where Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church.
Right.
It's the people in the church that is being a bigger hindrance than the devil ever could be. Why? Because God's people is the church together. So all of us as a family have to be in submission to whatever leadership that God has placed over us. Just like we said a while ago, is there ever a time that it's okay with God for children not to obey their parents? Even if the parents is wrong, why? Because there's not a one of us standing in here perfect. I have not been a perfect parent. I have not been a perfect child. I've not been a perfect wife. I have never always 100% since I got born again, led by the Spirit. I have come to find out a few times later it was my flesh. But I thought it was the Spirit at the time. So that's never okay for a child to disobey their parents or rebel. There's never a time that Christ is going to submit to the church. Never. Whatever he believes to be right, we have to yield and submit ourselves to that. And if we're going to do that, then that means we have to yield ourselves to leadership that God places over us.
Amen.
Go on here. Let's go to Colossians 3. We're not going to just read that where it said at one time. It says it again, verse 18. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Then it goes on and says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And then it starts talking about servants and all that, but we're dealing with the family and the church today. But notice that. Husbands, love. Wives, submit. Children, obey. In the church, leadership loves. Right? Let's go over to... Well, let's look at 1 Timothy 3 before we go over to that one. Ooh, everything smooths out when the anointing comes.
Glory to God.
Yep.
First Timothy 3, we'll start reading verse 1. It says, now listen, Timothy is a young pastor. Y'all know how this went about, right? The Apostle Paul set Timothy after he had followed him and been with him for years and always obeyed him. He was like his son. You know, he set Timothy as a young pastor over this church here. And he says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Now, their song that take that is, if you've ever been married before, you cannot be a bishop or overseer. I do not see it that way, because then that would be that people that have murdered somebody, they can be forgiven and work in office, but somebody just because they've been married before can't.
Right.
That don't make no sense.
Okay.
It says, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior. This is qualifications now. Given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, no greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth what?
His own house.
Having his children in subjection with all gravity. So, if you can't run your house, you can't run God's house.
Sure.
Why? It's running the exact same way.
Sure.
The exact same principles apply in full operation. So, he says, one that ruleth his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Ain't that exactly what I just said?
Yep.
He can't. Because he don't know how. And if he does know how, he's not doing it in operation. See, you may not know it, but me and Travis was teaching Scotty how to pastor y'all. Ain't that right according to this? Yeah. He had, and y'all have heard the testimony, that he didn't have godly examples before him of how to be a husband. His dad was a good man, and he loved his family, but he wasn't a godly man that did godly principles all of his life and all that. So Scotty really didn't have any, you know, and he would pray and said, after he got born again, he said, God, teach me how to be a husband. He doesn't know how to be a husband, Johnny.
Right.
Ain't none of us really when you get born again to the fullness. Why? But one reason you can't love your wife as Christ loved the church if you don't have the love of God in you, and you don't have the love of God in you until you're born again.
Amen.
So he would pray and say, God, teach me how to be a husband. I don't know how. Teach me how to be a father. I don't know how. He didn't know it, Johnny, but he is praying, and God's saying, I want you to pray that. I want you to ask me that, because when you get this worked out, I've got other things for you down there in the church where you're going to be a father.
Amen.
And he goes on here. He says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be a good must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not
double-tongued.
That's broken up in my Bible. Not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave. That in the Amplified says, the women likewise must be worthy of respect and serious, not gossipers, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. So it's talking, it's not just talking about the man now. It's talking about the man's wife. Right? He says, I don't read that. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now let's look at, he says some of the same things in Titus, but for time's sake, we're not going to turn over there and read it. If you want to, it's Titus 1, 5 through 9. Let's go over to Ephesians 4. Here in Ephesians 4, we're not going to take the time to start in verse 1. You can later if you want to go back and study it. I guess I'll start in verse 10. It says, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And it's talking about Jesus. And he gave some. Who gave them?
God.
Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now he tells why. These are gifts to the church. He says, for the perfecting, that word perfecting, what it means is the equipping. He says, for the perfecting of the saints. Who is the saints? They're all the ones that is not the pastors and the teachers and the prophets and the evangelists, right?
Yeah.
And apostles. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. What ministry is that? Well, number one, we know we have been given the ministry of reconciliation, right? Bringing people to Christ, leading them to Christ and all that. But then also, we are supposed to be helping Jesus build his church, right?
Right.
And he goes on here and he says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now notice this. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. That's where Jesus is trying to bring everybody that is in the church to the unity of the faith. And he's not talking about bringing everybody to being a Methodist. I know a lot of times somebody will say, well, what faith are you? Well, that's really not a right question.
Right.
There's only one faith according to Scripture.
Amen.
One faith, one baptism, one Lord, right? Y'all remember all that?
Yeah.
So what they really should be saying is, what denomination are you? If they want to know something like that. And he's not bringing us all to be a Methodist. He's not bringing us all to be a Catholic or a Pentecostal or any other denomination. It's the faith, he says, the unity of the faith. Notice this. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. What? Y'all remember what we read over there in Matthew 13? The revelation knowledge of who he is what he said he's going to build his church on. He says here that he's given all of these, he says, to bring us to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. The word perfect there don't mean flawless. It means mature man, growing up, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Notice this, that we henceforth be no more children. Today, if you tell somebody or refer to somebody as being a babe in the faith or a child, ooh, they don't like that. You've been saved 6 months, now you know more than the pastor does.
Right.
Damien's 15 and knows more than his mom and daddy does, which you don't. I'm just example.
Clarification.
Oh, here, let me say Blake. I done said use Damien in 1-0. Here, Blake is, how old are you, Blake? 13, 14? 13. 13, he knows more than Monty and April does. Can y'all do that common core math? See, even if he does know a little bit more, he don't have the place to have.
Right.
See, that's just like me. There's numerous things according to Scripture that me and Scotty don't agree about. That I may feel I have a little more revelation or light in that area than what he does. And there's other things that he has a little more revelation and light than what I do. But does that give me the right to rise up against him that I know more than he does? Even if I do, it's about place.
Right.
It's always about place. And notice he says here that we henceforth be no more children. I think everybody that is in the church should have at least one day working in the nursery. At least one. And let it just be full up in there. You got pee diapers, you got poopy diapers, you got this one wants to watch VeggieTales, you got that one wants to watch Dory, you got this one climbing up the shelf back there. I had one of them tell me, oh, I'm about to climb up there. I said, no, you ain't. He said, yes, I am. I said, no, you're not. He said, yes, I am. I said, well, you go right ahead. I said, I'll tell your daddy and he'll beat your little towel. Now, that was my nephew. I don't quite talk to y'all's kids that way. You know, I say it a little differently, you know, if it's not family. But I don't know. No, you're not. I'm the authority in this room right now. They think they know more than me. Yeah. Have one of them tell me. I'm going to go home and get my belt, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to whoop you with it. I'm serious. And I'm thinking, kids, you better just get worse than that. Why am I saying all this stuff? Do you realize this goes on in the church?
Yeah.
Way more than what we know sometimes. Why? Because he says the reason why he did all this, so we'd be no more children. Children fuss. Children fight. Beth said amen.
Yes.
Them two kids, I'm telling you, sometimes they are so jealous of one another. Aubrey starts telling me something, and Aiden's got to ramp it up to another level, higher. And then at their house, their TV's on loud, so it gets higher and higher until Travis says, shut up! that's what kids do. They're babies. They're so selfish. Have y'all not, do y'all not remember the days when you couldn't sleep past 2 hours at night? They don't care. I'm hungry. I'm wet. I'm not sleepy. Rock me. Entertain me. Play with me. Yeah. That's in the church. Rock me. Talk to me nice. Let me do everything I want to do. I hear from God for myself. Oh, I'm so sick of that. Yes, we all hear from God that are born again. We should be. We are His sheep. We're supposed to hear His voice. But that does not do away with the voice of leadership in here in the flesh.
Right.
No more than it does away with the husband for the, being the head of the wife, or the parents being the heads of the children that the children are supposed to obey. But for some reason or another, a lot of people, when it comes over here into the church, this is just a free-for-all, and I'll do whatever I want to, whenever I want to, and if you don't like it, just too bad.
That's exactly right.
And it is one of the biggest hindrances to the church. And one reason is because they will not set their little fanny down in one place, wherever it is that God has chosen for them, sit down, shut up, hear the word, go out, do the word, come back, hear the word.
Right.
I don't think I have ever seen more change in somebody's life than I have seen in Johnny's. And I've seen change in all of y'all. Y'all remember Johnny, right?
Right.
I think first time you ever come over here, what was it, Tiffany, Jackie and them? I think that was the first remembrance I had. And he'd start coming, you know. Then he'd come every now and then on Sunday morning for I don't know how long. We was actually on vacation one time and run into him at the flea market. He went, I think, Nemo or whatever. Well, Tony kept coming every now and then. Then before you know it, he got a little more often on Sunday morning. A little more often on Sunday morning. Then every Sunday morning. Then he started coming on Sunday night. Woo. Before you know it, he's coming on Wednesday night. Now he comes every Sunday, every Wednesday, every giveaway, every men's meeting.
Yeah.
If the door is somebody's here, Johnny's here.
Yeah.
And because of that, and not just Johnny, I'm not just pointing out Johnny. That's all of us. That is the same way it happened with me and Scotty.
Right.
You know? We get born again 2 weeks within one another, and I tell him that he wants me to go to church. I said, well, if you go to Sandy's church, because I don't think Sandy's a flake. Now, I did before I got saved, but I didn't after I got saved. And so he said, okay. Well, when we walked in the door, it just felt home. Just felt like that's where we were supposed to be. So we never left, and we was faithful. We went to church. We heard the word. We went home. We did the word. Now, we had to cry and pray about it a lot sometimes, especially me. But do our best to do the word. Go back to church. Hear the word. And before you know it, Scotty's jumping up like popcorn because he's got something to say. And the church will go, woo! Hey, Brother Scotty's got it, don't he? And I think, yeah, he's got it all right. Y'all just don't know. Why am I saying all of this? Because when this is the way of everybody. This is how we all go the same way. We don't all start out the day we get born again working in the office of a prophet or working in the office of an evangelist or working in the office of a teacher or a pastor. Why? You have to grow. That's what he says. You get born again, you're a little kid. And you think you know it all. And the thing that I have come to realize, the more I grow and the more I come to know, I'm like, man, there's so much I don't know. Usually those that think they know a lot know about this much.
Right.
But they want to tell everybody else what they know. And if you just shut up, you'd learn something. Because
right.
See, I already know what I know, Johnny. I need to know what you know. I need to know what they know. I need to know, because I already know what I know. But if my mouth is always running telling everybody everything that I know, I can't ever get nothing.
Right.
But I'm finding this a lot, and I believe God is so tired of this. Because it is a big hindrance to his church. Why? Because he's coming back, the Bible says, for a glorious church. Fussing, fighting, arguing, rebellion, willful unbelief is not glorious. It does not bring glory to the Lord. It actually brings a reproach to him.
Right.
And it is nothing more than, now sometimes it can be pride, but a lot of times it is just because people will not get in the place once they get born again where God has put them and sit there until God leads you out if he ever does. Some he will, some he won't. Just like us, it took 8 years before God said, step out. And I wasn't ready then. I come down here, buddy, and I had to live that sheltered Christian life. You come down here and see all of this and all this stuff that people do and carrying on and all of that kind of stuff. Brother Brad kept us from all of that stuff. I remember one time this guy, now, we actually had been saved and going to church there longer than him. Him and his wife and little baby. Well, anyway, one night he comes to church, and him and Brother Brad's in Brother Brad's office, and he sits, guy sits a few rows behind us. Anyway, they come out of the office, and he goes and sits down, and Brother Brad goes and service starts. Well, just as soon as service starts after praise and worship, when Brother Brad takes the pulpit ready to preach, this guy stands up and starts telling what him and Brother Brad had talked about in there in Brother Brad's office. And things he was saying, I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. One thing, I'm not a very nosy person. I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. And Brother Brad says, you know, not right now. You know, I told you not, let's don't tell it right now. Well, he continues on and continues on and continues on until he gets done. And then he just turns around and he starts walking out the door. And Brother Brad is calling his name. I can't remember his name now. Come back. You know, it's okay. Come back. Come back and sit down. He won't do it. He leaves. What did that cause?
Chaos
and confusion. I don't have a clue what the guy is talking about. And yes, he did hear from God. Brother Brad confirmed. Brother Brad had to straighten up the mess after the guy walked out and left all of us sitting there in that mess. He did hear from God, what God had told him. Something was going on. Some people in the church was doing some things, and God told this guy about it, and the guy did the right thing and went and told Brother Brad, but he rebelled against Brother Brad. You should have told him, sit down like he said, and keep your mouth shut until Brother Brad says, it's time. So now Brother Brad has to deal with this and clean up this mess after all this, because we're sitting there in confusion, don't know what in the world he's talking about or what's going on. And just seeing him keep walking out, Brother Brad trying to get him to come back, and he won't. And I'm like, this is not good. Y'all felt some of that before. I mean, Scotty's been up here preaching and had a brother and sister back there arguing until he just says, move over there.
Yeah.
And she didn't move. And Scotty, I told you to move over there, and you move over there. Ooh, you know that? They got to moving. Why? Because you can't allow all that kind of stuff. You cannot. In a home, you can't allow chaos and rebellion all the time. No. It'll be out of order, and it can't be a blessing.
Nope.
Anyway, so Brother Brad has to clean up his mess, and Brother Brad told us, you know, called his name. He said, so-and-so, he did hear from God. What he said was so. He already knew about it. He knew about the situation that was going on, and it was somebody that sat on that side over there, had something to do with something. I don't know what it was. And he told us, he said, and I told him, yes, that he was hearing from the Lord, that it was God what he said. He said, but I asked him not to tell it tonight. Now, when he asked him not to tell it tonight, he didn't tell him don't ever tell it. But come to find out, Brother Brad told us, the people that was involved in the situation that he was talking about, they was not even there that night. So why would you tell it?
Right.
See, even when we get things from God, and we all do, we should go to our leadership, just as children go to their parents, and find out. Tell them what we're hearing. If we really believe it's God, we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't have no problem with it. Scotty's not going to bite your head off. No, I'm not. No, I'm just kidding. You know, or anything like that. And if it's a no, then it's a no. Sometimes you need to sit on things for a little while, right? But don't ever rebel. And don't ever get in that willful unbelief. Why? Because we're all in the church, and God is bringing us all to the same place. But we're going to have to grow up. And I still didn't get where I'm going. Anyway, I've got to stop because time is up. Is there any questions or comments or anything before we close?
Very good.